America and such. And yesterday morning and the day before, and we had to hug them and say goodbye. Had you ever had a Christmas time and a family member was missing? And you still had all of the goodies out there and the presents under the tree and stuff like that, and still had a great time. But there's just a little piece left off on the side that said, you know what? Boy, wouldn't it be something if they were here too. And that's what I feel like tonight, like most of the families gathered together. And the gifts are definitely here because those are the graces of God and what he has supplied. But when some of them are just not there for the celebration, it just feels like, man, I wish they were here. So I'm glad you're all here. Bless God. Praise God. Now, if you like me or treat me nice or whatever like that, you know, that appreciate me, thank you. I like that. That's good. If you treat my son nice and love him and help him, man, I'll do handsprings and do anything to bless you. And even though I appreciate it when people say nice things to me, I understand the grace of God and all of that. And I try to get as close and cooperate with it. But man, when you just love on my son, something inside of me just wants to just move. And that's the way tonight's service is like. We love the Father God, and the Son is always going, hey, the Father, who's I talking to today? I can't remember. Did we use the word interpreter? Was that you? Or was that Jim? His dad. Now, boy, let me tell the short version. His dad couldn't get out of the truck at the auctions because he'd reached a point where he had to stay in the truck. So Jim would have to move off to the side to where he could see the auctioneer. And, of course, he'd have to look to his dad and interpret what his dad wanted to, yeah. And so in the auction, he was the interpreter for his dad. And he learned to flow with that. You had to be, that interpreter needed to be double communication both ways. And Jesus Christ did that. He was the interpreter of his Father. Bless God. So Jesus is our interpreter that is looking at the Father and looking at us and yes, this, that, and whatever. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is involved and you got angels. And, man, if you ever see into the spirit realm, it's extremely active is what it is. And that's why I often say I wish people could see into what happens when their prayers are spoken. If they could see into the spirit realm and see the activity, choom, 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 how the spirit realm moves quickly towards those prayers, they'd be praying all the time. But because they don't always see and they think, well, we're doing it by faith. Of course we're doing it by faith. But there is a spirit of seeing and knowing that the Bible talks about. And God wants us in on it, too. And, yeah, it's by faith, but if you just get a glimpse on the inside of what goes on as you speak your prayers, even a hint of a glimpse, you'll increase it. You know, why? Because God is waiting for words. He seeks those so that he may accomplish those. Why doesn't he just do it and cut you out of it, just bypass you? Yeah, why don't we bump you off to the side? Who needs you involved in this deal or family or what? You thought, well, no, I didn't mean that. I want to be, well, God's including you in the middle of it. Don't try to push him out of it. I mean, push you out of it. God, just do everything without me. I'll just, you know, you're God, so, you know, I don't know it. Well, so how fun is that? You stand over there and I'll do everything. He's pulling us in to participate. Do you want to participate? I think so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Oh, ladies, you're a blessing to me. You know that? Your hearts are open. It's like, don't know what I came here for tonight for, but there's going to be something, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to take it, and it'll be good. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise His holy name forever. Praise His holy name forever. Father, thank You. Your presence tonight is awesome. I'm humbled by being able to even speak to You. I know You hear me and You're here. Your manifest presence is here. Your love is here. Jesus, thank You for being here right now. All of heaven, through Hebrews 12:1, participating in tonight's service, and all the angels in the place. Thank You for helping us worship. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. I've seen the heart of the Father this week in increased capacity. In other words, I mean, His heart didn't get any bigger, but I've seen it and felt it and known it. And wow, when Philip stepped up and had difficulty even getting the words out, it just like, woo, I felt like I just got pulled into the heart of the Father again. Praise God. I know that we've got to be able to comprehend and absorb and sense the love of God. And I want to know that. And a lot of people think they're through their failed life or through other things they've done or whatever situation that they don't deserve it. And maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe the mercy of God was inserted with the grace of God so that all penalty was withheld. And it's just a full, free flow that the mercy and the grace of God. Don't know how you pray, but I pray more for the mercy of God, thanking Him for the withholding of penalty and also for the grace of God for inserting all the good of God to me, both of them. But receive the love of God tonight. Receive the love of God tonight. It's all about that. It's all about that. The love of God tonight. 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 Not the I don't deserve it. Will you just let yourself be loved? Just allow yourself to be loved. Hallelujah. Don't try to self-punish. Don't try to be punitive in any way towards yourself. I mean, what a wasted trip to the cross if you try to beat yourself up. All of the full 100% of the judgment went on Christ. None was left over to be plucked out of time and plopped into your life now. The full amount was taken care of. Not 1 ounce. You couldn't pay for it if you wanted to. Don't even try. Praise God. Just receive the love of God tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll show You My goodness, and I'll declare My name before You when I do. How important. At the name of Jesus Christ, it says, what? What's going to happen? Every knee bow, every tongue confess. And you're not going to be walking around heaven going, oh, we got to do that again. We got to bow and confess because like the Jesus name alarm just went off. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be like, I can't wait for the next time that the name of Jesus reverberates through heaven. And when it's released, everybody, no matter where you're at, whatever you're doing, are going to go, and you're just going to go, by the time that's through and you get up, you go, wasn't that something? I can't wait for the next time that the name of Jesus shoots through this place. It will be an experience that will carry you. You'll go, isn't that great when the name of Jesus is just released on us? You just want to be there, soak it in. I mean, the full awareness and the fullness of the maximum love, the reality of who you are and the reality of God, everything all at once so surrounds you and penetrates you. It's a good thing we probably won't be actually physically breathing, because I don't think I could breathe right then. I'd need to be a resurrected body and just have the life and breath of God flowing in me, because how could you not? Praise God. Praise God. I don't know what we're going to say at those moments. I suspect I know what I'm going to say, being born at this time in history. I'll probably say, wow. I don't know what you're going to say. I'm a wow guy. So that's probably what I'll say. Or whoa. Wow. Whoa. What's that even mean? It means I get it. I receive it. Wow. Receive it tonight. Receive it tonight. We're just letting these words, just the song is already singing in your heart. It's already in your heart. So bring those words up there. It says, next, previous, go to slide. And it even says help on there. Sing our song that's already singing on the inside. We might as well get it out. Praise God.
You are so awesome. And we count it such a privilege, Lord God, to come into your presence. Oh, the price you paid so we could. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your hand upon our lives, that you've made a way where there was no way, that you paid the cost, the price that was just so incredible, that you deemed us worthy of it. Oh, God, you're so amazing. And, Lord, we desire to know you. We desire to walk with you. We desire to fulfill your plan. We want to hear. We want to know. We want to go into the depths of God. We want to go into a further than we've ever been before, Lord. We're not settling. We want to move further into what you have for us, Lord. We want to see who you are. We want to see who we are. We want to understand your plans and purposes so that we can fulfill what you've set us on earth to do. God, we love you. Open our eyes. Open our understanding. Open our hearts wide, Lord God. Fill us and flood us with your glory so that you are magnified, that Jesus is lifted up, that he's exalted above all else, that men are drawn unto him, and that you have your way. Oh, we love you. Have your way tonight, Lord. In everything that's done, Lord God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I just got up to say Cindy got it tonight. Praise God. Hasn't this been an outstanding week this week? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I know on Sunday morning, the Lord really put it in my heart to minister on the lines of expectation. And I pray this week that God has exceeded your expectations this week. Amen. I believe that he is preparing us to be a people of signs and wonders. Anytime that you draw near to him, his essence gets on you, in you. And we are to take that essence out of this place, amen, and express it to the world. Just as Jesus did in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Being in God's presence is just not for a woo-woo time. Woo. Or a hoorah. But being in his presence and coming in and spending time in these meetings, spending time in his presence and watching and seeing the different moves and different manifestations of the Spirit of God is to equip us and enable us to be better equipped and better have a better understanding of what we are to be in the earth. So a better amen than that. Amen. Amen. He is making us better. Amen. Again, to be more equipped and to do that which we are called to do, and to lay aside our apprehensions. Because all of us have things that we are kind of apprehensive about. And Paul said the best thing to do for that is just die daily. So we want to send a bunch of dead people out of here. Amen. We decrease so that he may increase. Amen. And this week has been a week of increase. Amen. The measuring has been different from any other meeting that we have done before. It has been different this week. Amen. And I hope that you recognize the difference. There has been such an increase on the music this week. Amen. And just let me have your hand for a second. The left one is good. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we thank God just for further increase. Further increase. Further increase. More and more. My, more and more. Not returning to where we've been. Ha, 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 ha. But going further and further in. Hallelujah. Not returning to where we've been. Ah. Further and further in. Further and further in. Hallelujah. Further and further in. Jesus even said so much that when you see me, you see the Father. Whoo! Jeff, where are you at? You're supposed to wave at me or something when I call your name, not just stand there and act like, come here, Jeff. Praise the Lord. We see what you have to work with, Pastor. We see. Amen.
Am I turning red?
Yeah, you're pretty red.
Okay.
Amen. We can get worse, brother. All right. But we better stay with the anointing. Hallelujah. Father, you know that which he has requested, that which is in his heart to do. So we thank you for the equipping. Thank you for the anointing that comes and causes those things to come to pass. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You can't be afraid of how God uses you. You must be the best you that you can be. You don't need to be a copy of anybody else. I had the privilege of traveling with Brother Hagin almost 11 years, and I was around the ministry more time than that, and I got to see him move and operate and preach and teach, and there are some things that you just kind of pick up because you watch an individual so much. But God expects you to be your own person, and he wants to use you in the world as you, not somebody else. So when I go down the aisle at Walmart or Kohl's, I usually go down the aisle singing because that's me. That's my gift. One of my giftings. And people hear me singing in the grocery store or at another department store, or just when I'm out getting gas, and they will say, "That's beautiful." Or they will say, "What are you singing?" And what does that do? That opens up the door for me to be able to witness, amen, and be able to share with them just from my heart, amen, what's on my heart at the time. Amen. And you know, a lot of people that you run into on the outside, they're not happy. They're grumbling. They're fussing. And if you're just walking around singing, "For the Lord, he is good, and forever his mercy endures. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endures. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, for the Lord, he is good, woo, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and forever." And see, people do just exactly what you're doing. They start engaging. Amen. Even if they look at me and say, "You people sure can sing." See. Oh, yeah, they say that. Yeah, to get you out the spirit. Hello? Because if they can pull on your carnal side, if they can pull on your natural side, you won't minister life. You'll think about what they say, and you'll forget about that the Lord is good, and you want to hit them with that T-bone you just picked up. Ooh, Jesus. But we have to stay focused, amen, and keep our minds renewed as to who we are in Christ. Amen. And we keep it alive on the inside of us that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. And we, again, can't fall back to the natural way of living. But we live this supernatural life. And walking in love is supernatural. Many people want to see a miracle. It's a miracle when you don't hit somebody with that meatloaf that you bought. Come on. Amen. When you don't yield to your flesh and you yield to the love of God and you're able to minister life, you're able to minister a word of encouragement, you're able to minister a word of help. Amen. A word in due season. These meetings, again, are just not about us coming together and being in the presence of God and just absorbing it all for ourselves. But these meetings are about us sharpening our tools and about us, amen, trimming our lamps so that when we are out, we are like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. God doesn't intend that you be hidden. He intends that you and I be the lights of this world. A brother on the end, I should know your name, but forgive me because I don't. Amen. Thank you for waving. You are much better at that than Jeff is. Do you mind coming up here, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Brother Jeff, you moving. Amen. Amen. I don't know yet. Joel. Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir. Amen. I was blushing, but you didn't know it. There are advantages. There are advantages. Hallelujah. And so, Father, thank you for the increase in supply to his life. Father, there are so many areas that need that increase. And you care about us on every level, every level. And so, Father, thank you for increase, spirit, soul, body. Thank you for increase. Thank you that he's on the rise. Thank you for the plan that you have for his life. Hallelujah. One of you all has something to add to this also before I let him go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And so since that's private, you all put your eyes on me. One of the things that I learned in traveling with Brother Hagin and being around him is that the Holy Ghost manifests himself in different ways, in different avenues, and through different streams. And many times how he manifests himself, we're not comfortable with in the natural. And so many times the Lord has to expose us to different giftings and to different anointings so that when those things come up in us or come upon us, we know how to yield. We know how to respond, amen, to the Spirit of God. There are many laughers in this room. There are many dancers in this room. There are many runners in this room. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the Lord allows these things to be on display, not so that we can idolize an individual, but so that we can, again, better understand what we are equipped with. Amen. And better understand how we are to yield to the moving and to the flow of the Spirit of God. And, you know, even though we do a lot of laughter on the floor and we just get totally saturated, drunk, I want you to notice there in Acts that even though Peter was totally just saturated with the Holy Ghost, when it came time to stand up and speak, he had utterance to speak. He didn't keep rolling on the floor and laughing and He knew how he needed to conduct himself at the time. Amen. And the Holy Ghost helps us to know how to conduct ourselves in the different situations that we're in. Amen. And as we move deeper, as we flow in the things of God on a higher level, on a higher plane, there will be some unique things that come out. There will be, amen, some different flows that come out. We were talking just the other day about a man named Dr. Pippin. And he is a gentleman that had been friends with Brother Hagin, I guess, for years. And Dr. Pippin was a very unique ministry gift. I don't have a proper word for him. I don't want to say weird, but he was unique. Yes, he was very unique. Praise the Lord. And if Brother Hagin hadn't called him up on the stage, and I hadn't had the avenue of Brother Hagin introducing that ministry to me, I never would have been able to receive from him, because he was just something I'd never seen before. And all of us are kind of suspicious of things that we have never seen before, but how the Spirit of God flowed through him and moved through him, there were many people that were baptized in the Holy Ghost through his ministry. Amen. But again, he was not the normal preacher or normal teacher that I was accustomed to. But again, because a man of God that I was under introduced him to us, I could receive from that anointing. And I'm just going to say this, and I think I'm going to be done, that we as the body of Christ have to become more acclimated to different moves and different expressions of the Spirit of God. We just can't key in on what we like. I just can't key in on dancing anymore and running anymore and laughing anymore. There is that weeping thing. I said it. But somehow it's different when I say it versus when you say it. It's still the same, right? Again, just as we move in deeper, as we move into these places in God, we can't back off just because it's things that we experience that we've never seen before or never heard of before. But God will help us, and he will teach us, amen, and he will put people in our path. There's nothing else. You can always look to the Holy Ghost to be your help. Amen. You got something? Okay, but wait a minute. I got one more thing. They're in Tulsa. You can experience everything. What's a nice way to say this? Whatever flavor of church that you want to go to, or meeting that you want to go to, you know, if you want to learn how to bark, there. There are places that you can go. Anyway, don't go to barking meetings, all right? That's not God, all right? But anyway, praise the Lord, that's not God. But being there in Tulsa, there are a lot of meetings that you can get invited to. And so you always have to, again, look to your spirit. Look to the spirit of truth that's on the inside of you, and he'll let you know what to go to and what not to go to. And there was a meeting going on there when I first came to Oklahoma, and there were feathers flying and gold dust and a lot of other things, and people were caught up in the signs and all these things. And when people asked me about going, there was something on the inside of me that said, Nah, don't go. And I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement, in somebody else's excitement. And we can't get caught up in that. Are you hearing me? Amen. We have to learn to live from here, to live from this place. Even though it doesn't agree with what's going on around us, amen, we have to stand firm in what we know in here. May not be necessarily to prove it from the word yet. I'm telling you, you bought out some stuff today that I'm going to use it on the right way on some folk. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I got some answers today. Amen. Amen. But following this witness that we have on the inside of us, it's a protection. Amen. Following the leading of the Holy Ghost protects us. I know, you know, we could be wild tonight and rolling down the aisles tonight, but there are things that the Spirit of God still is imparting into us as we move deeper. Amen. That we don't get caught up in things, but we keep listening here. Keep listening here. And this is my last one. This is my last one. When I traveled with Dad, I was exhorting one night, and I got over on the scripture, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And it was one of those nights where I got the crowd with me. Yeah, I mean, and we were shouting, and, you know, had Deborah on the organ, and we were going. We were about to lift off, but we didn't. And anyhow, when Brother Hagin came up and took the microphone, the first thing out of his mouth was, "I don't know about you, but I don't look to the hills anymore." And I was like, oh, Jesus. Now, wait a minute. I went to your Bible school. And you taught us to be scriptural, and that's a scripture. But he went on to say, no longer do I look out, but now I look in. Because greater is he that is in me. I have an unction from the Holy One. It's in me now. It's not out here somewhere. It's here now. Amen. This is his temple now, right here. So we're not looking out any longer, but we're now looking in. So I just said that to say you got to be teachable. Got to be correctable. Yeah, in front of 10,000 people. I mean, it's just wonderful. I don't do that anymore. Love you too, Brother Hagin. You could have done that.
First Corinthians 12:1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Point out a couple of things on this passage of Scripture here. The word gifts, if you notice in the English Bible, it's italicized. And the reason for that is because in the original Greek, of course, in which this was written, it's not grammatically and structurally similar at all to English, punctuated differently and so forth. And so when they would translate from Greek into English, they would add some words to make it, you know, make sense in our language. And those words that they added like that are italicized words. Now, in the original Greek, it actually reads more like this, now concerning spirituals. So these are things of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And these are things of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, we have a listing then given here of nine gifts of the Spirit. Nine expressions is really what they are of the Holy Spirit that come through the life of the believer. And I'm sure your pastors, you know, teach you on the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. But actually, the meaning of this is actually in a broader sense than simply the nine gifts of the Spirit. The meaning of this is spirituals. It would have to do anything that has to do with the Holy Ghost. Any manifestation or operation that may come in our midst or through our lives, and some of them don't fit within the category of one of these nine gifts of the Spirit. And yet, it is a spiritual manifestation from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so notice this, that the Lord says, I don't want you to be ignorant. What's that mean? Without knowledge, without understanding, without the ability to know what this is so that you are able to participate freely and accurately. You see, the Lord wants us, and notice, now who's this written to? Is this written to just the pastors or the leaders or the ministers? No, this is written to the body of Christ. So this means then that every Christian, God actually expects and desires and wants for each of our lives that we would not be ignorant concerning spiritual manifestations or things of and pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So then that means then that for every believer, there is a way or a means of access by which we can access these heavenly gifts and we can participate with the Holy Spirit. And going back to what was said earlier this week, that image of the yoke where we are connected together with Him. If we live in a relationship with the Lord like that, where we are walking with Him on a daily basis, yoked together, then getting in the Spirit is not a complicated or difficult matter. We're living in the Spirit. Amen. Because we're walking with Him. And so when you need one of these manifestations, or you need to, or the Lord wants to do something through you or to operate in some way, you don't have to struggle to try to find, you know, my, I got to get in the Spirit. I've got to get in the Spirit. You're already in the Spirit. Amen. Do you know the Bible actually tells us that? If we go over here, we'll look at this scripture over here in Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. And Paul wrote, I tell you what, if you just read Romans 8 and didn't read any other any other chapter of the Bible, I don't recommend you do that, but if you did that, your whole life would be absolutely radically transformed when you understand what this is saying to you. But I want you just to see this here. He tells us this. Oh my, there's so many things we could say here, but let's just read this. Let me find this first of all. He says this in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you, you're born again? You'd say, I'm born again. Now, guess which part of the Trinity dwells in you? This is not complicated, not a trick question. The Holy Ghost. So then you qualify. That scripture means you. The Spirit of God lives within you. You're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, He says to the children of God, you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So why do we struggle to try to get in the Spirit? Why don't we just live in the place that God always intended for us to live? Amen. Why don't we just walk in fellowship with Him? And the great thing about this is when you really understand this, you can live you can live a completely natural-looking life. This isn't some weird thing where you float around, you know, like Brother Philip was just saying, you know, woo-woo, you know. Like you float around, woo. What are you doing? I'm walking in the Spirit. That's not what this is. Now, I used to think it was that way. I thought all the people over at the Prayer and Healing Center in Rhema were like in some special category, and I was afraid to go near the place. I really was. I really, really was. And then I found out the truth. Yeah. I could tell stories, but I won't. Yeah, that's true. For every story I tell, she's probably got three on me, so I better not do that. But, you know, walking in the Spirit, it's not some mystical experience. It's not some high and lofty thing that's unattainable except to a select few that have somehow pierced through the veil and they now understand. It's not like that. Walking in the Spirit is just living with God. And see, that's because we are in the Spirit. So if we are in the Spirit, then the most natural setting in our life, if our life was like one of those knobs that you have on your, you know, say perhaps your automobile, you know, you control certain settings, maybe the air conditioning or the temperature in your car. Philip's car would be like 800 degrees. My car would be like 800 below zero. But, you know, we... But you have this you know, knob that controls things. So you have settings. Well, in the sense, it's like that with us. We have a setting. We have a default setting in certain things when it comes to God and walking with Him. For example, we have His character and nature within us. In fact, because He lives in us, He is love, therefore we are love. It's just, so what does that mean? It means it's more natural for us to act in love than it is to act else in other ways. The natural default setting is a love setting. And it's an unnatural act to not love. The natural default setting for the believer is holiness and sinlessness. Now, unfortunately, we do make mistakes. We know that. But sinning is an unnatural act to the believer. Why? Because He lives in us. So if we understand with some of these things, then, that that's the case, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, this should not be such a difficult thing for people to enter into and participate in. Because our natural default setting is, we're in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We move in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And I love to see people who are just free and easy. And you saw, like, for example, with Brother Philip. He just, you know, he make a joke and everybody's laughing in the natural. And then all of a sudden, he's moving in the Spirit. See, that's what God is looking for. So that you can be pumping gas and you know, your phone rings and you're just talking to somebody and you're just having a little conversation. You're not thinking about anything spiritual. And then all of a sudden, somebody pulls in next to you and they have a need or God wants to do something. And you just step out. Why? Because we live in this. We live all the time in the Spirit while we're living out our life in the natural. And this is how you take both of these areas of our life and live them out. You are a spirit being living in a natural world. So how do you live out that spiritual nature, that spiritual aspect of your life in this world? Well, you do it naturally. You do it naturally. This is who we are. You know, we don't have to think about breathing. Why? Because we just naturally breathe. You know, so you don't sit there and go, breathe. Breathe out. If you do that, you know, you sound like Darth Vader or something. You know, don't do that. It's creepy. But we don't think about that. Why? Because it's natural to us. We just do it. We do it unconsciously. It's not something we think about doing. And really, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it's very much like that. Now, God does not want us to be ignorant concerning things of and pertaining to the Holy Ghost. He wants us to know about these things. Now, if He wants us to know, then He wants us to participate. So how do we come to this place, then, of participation? I believe one way or one aspect or detail of that is what I've just shared with you, understanding that this is just innately in you. It is your nature. It is who you are. You can't help but be a spirit being in this world. But that involves an identity, a revelation of your identity and placement and position in His kingdom. But then further beyond that is that we must understand, as Brother Philip was sharing, the expressions of the Spirit. And there is such a diversity of expressions. I don't think we've seen them all. I think there are expressions of the Spirit that, frankly, if we saw them, we probably would be a bit shocked. But it's an expression of the Holy Spirit. And I know I've been in meetings at different times over the years where God did something. I'll never forget 1993. Were you there? You were there when Brother Rodney came for those meetings. You remember that? Do you remember the night the elderly lady got up and started blowing kisses at everybody? Did you see that? You remember that one? I'll never forget this. Now, I've been in meetings, you know, the Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. But I don't think that's what that meant. But this little old grandmother, I mean, she was silver hair. She had little chubby cheeks. She was just as cute as could be. You wanted to kind of like adopt her as your grandmother. She was so cute, you know. And she was just drunk in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, people were kind of yielding a little bit, but not really. A lot of people not entering in, didn't know how to enter in. And so this lady just got up in the middle of the service. It was kind of a little bit of a quiet interlude there. She got up and she started walking around and she'd blow kisses at people. And then she'd walk over to people who were having a hard time entering in and she'd just pat them on the shoulder, you know, kind of like your grandma would. It'd be okay. It's okay. And she'd just do this. And when she did, something went out over the congregation. You could sense the glory of God increasing, the power and the presence of God increasing in that place. But that was an unusual manifestation. In those same meetings, I'll never forget this, I saw a high school age girl rolling up the stairs, down the stairs, back up the stairs, and down again. And you know, they used to call us holy rollers. When I saw that, I said, okay, what, you know, and you say, well, what is that? Well, this is that. And what did they say on the day of Pentecost? That there would be signs and wonders. Somebody says, well, what is that? Well, there are signs that make you wonder. There are things we don't have an explanation for. But it's within the realm of what God is doing. So now, there is something, though, because we don't want to just like what Brother Philip was saying, the mistake some people have made and still make today is they're pursuing after signs. You know, Jesus said very clearly, these signs will follow those who believe. So we're not to follow signs. Signs are to follow us. Okay? So we had, for example, we had in our school one day, one of our students came up to us. This was a few years ago, and we had a really wonderful time in prayer and worship and so forth. And they came up and they said, they came up and they called me Reverend Jeff, you know, there. And so they came up and they said, Reverend Jeff, while we were worshiping God, I had gold dust on my hand. And they were like, what do I do about that? I said, well, just praise God. I said, you know what? We're not pursuing after signs, but signs follow us. And if God chose to do that, I'm sure there's a valid manifestation then in God that can happen. I know there's some things out there that, you know, people are a little wondering about. But I just said, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on God. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't pursue after the sign. Pursue after him. And then those signs will follow you. And, you know, if something like that shows up, then wonderful. But if it doesn't, it's okay too. But you see, sometimes what happens is people get so caught up in the spectacular, and then they're chasing after that, and then as a result, they end up missing the supernatural. And I found that oftentimes some of the most supernatural things God is doing are things that are not very spectacular at all, like speaking in your spirit with a still, small voice. Some of the greatest leading, some of the most important decisions that I've ever made in my life came when it was like the gentlest of whispers, just gently, so quietly speaking in my spirit that it would have been very easy to miss it if I had not been paying attention. It wasn't like God said, I want you to go to Singapore. It wasn't like that. When we were going to Estonia, I wanted Brother Hagin to come by and lay hands on me and prophesy. So he'd walk by, you know, I'd be in his meetings, he'd walk by, I'd stick my head out a little bit extra. He probably thought, who is this guy acting like a turtle, you know? And I thought, I'm going to get a word from Brother Hagin. I never got a word from Brother Hagin. I thought, you know, this thing, that thing. Finally, you know what? It came down to this. I had to make a decision. An invitation had been extended to me. Would you come to Estonia and oversee this Bible school and help us in this ministry? And so I'm laying on the floor. This is at Rodney Howard Brown's meeting, interestingly enough, again. But I was laying on the floor there one night after I'd been prayed for, and I thought, well, this is the best time to make the decision. I mean, the presence of God is on me right now. So I just thought, okay, Lord, I'd like to go. I want to go. And when I did, I looked in my heart, and there was peace. There was peace. Peace is God's indicator that you're in his will. Peace is God's indicator that what he is doing is in fact hit from him and his will. So one way that we have to, and God is calling for us to come to a higher level of maturity where the things of the Spirit are concerned. Because for so many years, really, many of the members of the body of Christ have depended upon the leadership of the body of Christ to determine for them whether something was valid or not, whether something was true or not. And you know what that is? That's a form of priesthood. We've placed a priest between us and God because we're looking to an individual to tell us whether something is right or not right. Well, what if that individual gets it wrong? They can mislead you. And any human being, because they're a human being, could make a mistake. But thank God, God did something wonderful for us. He placed the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And he went on to say that the anointing that you have received, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, will teach you things. Hallelujah. Why is the Holy Spirit in our life? Well, for a variety of reasons. But one of the greatest reasons why he's there is to teach us. And so, you can't take Pastor Gary home in your hip pocket or Pastor Shelley home in your, or any of us ministers. You can't take us home in your hip pocket or pull us out all, you know, anytime during the day. Thank God you can listen to some recordings or whatever. But you know what? You've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's teaching you. And what else does he do? He leads you into the truth. He testifies to the truth. So God wants us to come to a place of enough maturity spiritually where we can recognize the Holy Spirit speaking to us and directing us that, that's true, that's right. Yeah, that's a strange manifestation, but that's the Lord. I was in a meeting in 1996. We went to Canton, Ohio. I guess you probably would have been there then because you were on the team. You remember the night they were all rolling on the, so I go to this meeting, and Brother Hagin, he finishes the service, and he's trying to shut everything down, so, he handed the microphone off. Well, it was a hot mic that night. He had that happen sometimes in his ministry, where he'd give the microphone to somebody, and instead of being able to say, praise the Lord, we've had a wonderful time, go home, they just fall out under the power of God, or they'd start laughing. Or they'd start dancing or running, or they'd just slide out of their chair, And it was like that night. He'd give the microphone to this one and that one, and they'd just, fall out, laugh, dance, whatever. And it finally got to the place at the end of this meeting where, I don't know how to describe it, but there was like, they formed a line. And the people that were in this line were like the board of directors for Rhema. They were very educated, wealthy, prominent, kind of people in that regard, and ministers and people. And these people are all in this line, and they were taking turns rolling on the floor in the front. And I'm watching this because, I was a very skeptical person. Kathy can tell you. She had to kind of slap that out of me, and I still have the scars, I think, to prove that she did it. But thank you for doing that. I don't know if I ever said thank you for that, but thank you. I really do thank you. But, I watch this, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm thinking, what are these crazy people doing? And, my immediate teacher mind went into, teacher mode. Where is that at in the Word of God? And I couldn't think of any place where it says people can roll, in the front of the building or something. And so one person rolled, and I heard them when they got up, they were just as drunk as could be. Oh, that was the other thing. They would start out, kind of looking normal, but as soon as they rolled, they came out on the other side just as drunk could be. And I knew this is a manifestation of God, but what is going on here? And I heard one person go through there and get up, and they said, they said, why we have to roll on the floor? Because the water's just ankle deep, and this is the only way we can get saturated. I thought, okay. So I watched that, and I didn't enter into that. And I wish that I had of, because that was available. I could have entered into that, but I didn't have enough understanding. So I pulled back from that.